Great to see all of you this morning. Aren't you glad you're here? Or would you rather be sitting outside? Fresh air. Great being here together, worshiping together, studying scripture together in the house of God. So, years ago, before I met Sally, my oldest brother moved up into Montana. And up in western Montana, and so in the years that followed, we went and visited him several times, and one of the places that I went to was Lewis and Clark Caverns in western Montana. Have any of you been there to western, to Lewis and Clark Caverns? Some of you are familiar with that. At the time, they had an old rickety seating arrangement that you set on the real steep side of the hill, backwards, and it took you up a track, clickety-clack, 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 up the hillside to the entrance to the cavern. Anyway, we went on the tour inside, and it's, of course, very dark in the caverns, and we worked our way down through there, and very little lighting, but they had different features with lights on them. And then the tour guide had to stop, and he said, "Now, some of you may want to sit down because I'm going to turn the lights off." So he did that when everybody got situated, and he turned the lights off and left them off for a few minutes and was talking to us in the dark. And your eyes could never get adjusted because it was pitch black darkness. I mean, you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. It was so dark. And it helped you appreciate the little light that we did have along the path to get through there. And then the exit out of there was a long man-made tunnel with one door at the end. And it had a little peephole in the end of it. And to get out, you just followed the light coming through that little peephole until you could get to the door and open it up into the beautiful sunlight outside. But it was quite an adventure. How many of you have been over to Carlsbad Caverns? Several of you have experienced that one. In our younger years, when our boys were little, we took the boys over there to see Carlsbad Caverns. You know, that's a mile and a quarter walk just to get down inside of it. You end up 750 feet below the surface, and then you follow the path, right? How many of you stayed on the path? I assume all of you did because you're back here. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't have made it back. Anyway, you walk through with the path, and they have the little narration goes along if you want to follow it, or you read the signs. They've got the signs lit up. They've got the different features, and they've got them named. And also, those lights are also shining on a little sign that says, "Stay on the path," because there are all kind of dangers in the dark. There are drop-offs. There are sharp rocks. And if you don't stay on the path, probably you're going to get hurt, if not get killed. Because there's several miles back in there that they still have not investigated fully. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." How many of you took your Bible with you when you went to Carlsbad? You know, through the challenges of life, God has given us His Word, His teachings, His instructions, His directions, and we need to learn to put our faith and trust in God and His Word. Most of the world is stumbling around through life, only experiencing a portion of the light of God's goodness. Now, to experience all of God's goodness, we need to get into Scripture and to be readers of the Word, studiers of the Word, obeying the Scripture. But we see a little bit of the glimmer of the light of God through the kindness of other people, through the generosity, through the patience of people. Where does all that good stuff come from? Scripture says it all comes from God. God is the source of all that is good. And so a lot of people experience these things. The love of God reaches out and touches them and affects their life in a positive way. But all these are just a glimmer of the nature of God. They are just a small portion of the greatness, the power, the majesty, the glory of God. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 2 speaks of the earth and all of the people on the earth in a deep darkness. We had that passage read this morning. Did you hear that? As God spoke through his word, as Raymond read the scripture, all of us are in a deep darkness in this world. But God, who is light, has promised that his light will come into this world. The Lord himself would come to the earth and shine a pathway through life for humanity to follow, to walk with, to find help in the midst of the darkness. God wanted us to experience all of his good qualities, all of his blessings, his truth. So he clothed himself with human flesh and came down to be with us for a time. The light came into the world for the people to see how we are supposed to live, not the ways of the world, but God's ways that he intended for us. And so today's passage, I've chosen to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Here are the words that we read about Jesus. And leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. From that time Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus came in fulfillment of the scriptures. So many of the prophecies, all of the prophecies regarding the Messiah were fulfilled in the coming of Jesus to address people who are covered in that deep darkness, lost in the deep darkness. The Apostle John opens his gospel, John 1 verses 1 through 5, with the message that the Word is God, and the Word is light, and that Word became flesh to dwell among us. He left heaven to become our Redeemer and our Savior. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overpower it. Jesus came for our benefit and the benefit of every person in this world. God's word teaches us that all people, including us, have stumbled. We have fallen in the darkness of sin. Now the question is, do we avoid falling for the deceptions of the prince of darkness? Are we tired of walking in the path that of pain and suffering that Satan offers to us? Are we willing to get up and leave that pathway of darkness and walk with the Lord of light? Do we want life instead of death? I think the reason why most of us, if not all of us, are here is the answer is yes, we want life instead of death. We want what God has to offer, and Jesus Christ is that answer. Jesus Christ invites everyone to walk in his light, and this is a season that we can share the light of the message of Jesus Christ with those around us. They are tuned in to Christmas. Let's tell them what the real reason is for Christmas. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer and ask his blessing upon our time together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for keeping your promise of sending light into the world, that Jesus himself, the Son of God, has come into the world, fulfilling the promises. The Messiah has come. He has paid the price in full for all sin, all corruption. And Father, we thank you that Jesus is coming again to finish this world, to begin the eternal reign in His kingdom with perfection, with You. Father, we just ask that You would inspire us. If there are any here today who are still walking in the darkness, have not surrendered to Jesus and allowed Him to be their personal light, that they would do so. And Father, help us to take this message to our neighbors, families, friends, acquaintances, whoever it may be, so that they too may have eternal life forever, walking in the light of Jesus Christ. Guide us now in the next few moments as we refresh our memory about Your promises, Your revelation in Scripture. Help us to get these passages of Scripture under our belt, in our mind, remembering the blessings that You pour out upon us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to deal with just two main points from this passage in Matthew chapter 4. First of all people travel through this world of darkness. Have any of you come from another planet? I didn't think so, but you know, all humanity has to walk through this world and all the challenges, all the frustrations, all the darkness that it has to offer. How are we going to deal with that? Now, Matthew's quote here is, people are sitting in darkness, according to Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. Sitting in darkness. The apostle is quoting and explaining from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Now, in Isaiah, it says they are walking in darkness. And now, at this point in the first century, Matthew says they are sitting in darkness. Several aspects come from that. I want to deal with four different thoughts regarding that sitting in the darkness. You know, nothing of this sinful world or of the things created can lead us to eternal life. We can't get to heaven by doing the things of this world. Pursuing the things of this world only leads us into deeper darkness, deeper into the cave of corruption, of sin, of blackness, of humanity. If we follow the directions of people, some people have this idea that might makes right. The more powerful they are, the more weapons they've got, the more they want to influence us. Don't we see that in the world today? They're trying to take over the world. They think if they just get a hold of the world in power and strength, that they have the world by the tail. But it all ends up in death. There's no eternal aspect to that power, to that corruption, to that evil. Sin has twisted and perverted the thinking processes of every person, and sin has corrupted and gradually destroyed all things in this creation. Scripture tells us that our sin has affected nature, that nature is falling apart because of humanity's sin. Death is the only future offered here. If we stay around, The prognosis, if you hang around according to the teachings of this world, is either we're all going to drown because of global warming. Are you ready for drowning? Have you got your inner tube ready? Or if we hang around long enough, for a couple billion years, we will eventually be burned up by our sun. Now, which prospect do you want? Drowning or burning? Well, you know, I don't want either one of them. I want life. And that's what Jesus came to offer us. Without God's help, people stumble around in the futile attempts of living, theories, ideas, and eventually falling under the sin's weight. They just fall apart. Eventually, their ideas will fall apart and not be remembered anymore. Many people have given up trying and find answers. They just don't want to find the answers. They just going through life in a humdrum, everyday routine that there's no joy, there's no hope. It's a life of despair. As Matthew described, they are sitting in darkness. And some even go beyond that and even take their own life. They just see no purpose in continuing on. Just heard on the television that with this last year and a half of shutdowns, that teenage suicide is rising drastically, as well as with adults. People are losing hope because of the answers the world is giving to them. They are not looking to Jesus. They're not looking to God. They are depending on what the world has to offer them. They are sitting in deep, deep darkness and giving up. They don't want to live anymore. Living a religious lifestyle is not the answer either. Living a religious life to receive eternity, there are many religious groups, all kinds of different religions that we can turn to that claim to help you, to lead you in some direction, but they all end up in death. Paul states that his extreme devotion to Judaism, becoming a Pharisee of Pharisees, was not the answer, but it was just leading him to further darkness. You can read about that in Acts chapter 26, when he gives his own personal testimony about his very strict religious lifestyle. It was not leading him to life and light. It was leading to death and destruction. He says that only Jesus Christ can bring anyone into the light of life. God does not want anyone to perish, but for all to come and find the light of life, to all to find salvation. Through God's word and the cleansing of Christ, every person can avoid the traps and the dangers of evil. Every person, if we will just turn to the light and follow the light down the pathway. We can move forward. We can move upward. We can move into heaven itself through following the light. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 15 teaches us that all who obey Christ by putting their full faith, full hope, and full obedience in Jesus are qualified by God to, quote, to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Move in with Jesus. You move into the kingdom of light. You move into the kingdom that has no corruption, no darkness, forgiveness of sins, of joy, and all the blessings of God. So if you're tired of stumbling through life, tired of falling for the tricks of Satan, follow Jesus. He's the light. He is the King of light. He will reign for how long? Forever. And he wants to have us join him in his kingdom of life and light. So enter through the door. He called himself the door. Into eternal light. The second thought I want to deal with is the believers of the light can avoid evil and harm. God gives us help to avoid evil and harm. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. How many of you have gotten up in the middle of the night, pitch black in your room, and you've stubbed your toe? Yeah, it's a painful reminder, wasn't it, that there are obstacles around. Jesus flips the light on in our spiritual life so that we don't have to stumble in the darkness anymore. We can avoid the obstacles. Jesus is like the cave guide who is holding the lantern and turning it on full bright so that we can follow him in a path that leads to heaven. Leading us through the darkness of the world, away from sin, away from the hazards of sin, into the safety with our Father in heaven. You who want to really live, it's not in parties. It's not through drugs, it's not through alcohol, not through sexuality, it's through Jesus. you will give your life to Jesus, give him total control of your life, of your choices, of your possessions, of your relationships, Jesus will guide you with his light in goodness. The lifestyle Jesus provides gives you peace. It gives you joy. It gives you love and so much more, along with excitement, adventure, and eternity. Now, if you are moved by God, you may become a missionary. I never dreamed of being in New Mexico when I was a teenager. God has taken me for quite a ride. It's been a good ride. It's been an adventure. God may have an adventure for you. And maybe it's just down the street. Maybe it's across the state. God has a purpose for each and every one of you, and it will be a good life if you walk in his light. Brother Bob and Sister Flora can also talk about the adventures of life in serving Jesus in full-time ministry. Some of you have stories already of the excitement, the joy, the adventure that it's been in walking with Jesus. Don't give up on Jesus. Never give up on Christ. He is the Lord of light, and he has an adventure for you, as well as his presence, the fruit of the Spirit dwelling within you. I'm tempted to sing a song, but I'm not going to. In Christ, we enter his spiritual family, reaching across borders into the world. We have brothers and sisters all around the world through Jesus Christ and across time. You're going to be living with Abraham, Joseph, David, Paul, John, all of the saints for eternity as you walk with Jesus. Don't give up on the adventure that God has prepared for you. Jesus called for his disciples to walk with him in the light. That's John chapter 12. Walk with him, stay with him, stick with him. To walk with Jesus, they became sons of light, meaning they became sons of God. And is it just for them? No, it's for everybody who walks with Jesus. We who follow Christ receive the same promises, the same blessings as children of God walking with Jesus. Through Jesus, God adopts us as his sons and his daughters and transforms us into his likeness. We become more and more like our Savior the closer we walk with him, the more we become true to his word, true to his commands, true to the Spirit's calling on our heart. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16, that we are his representatives of light by how we speak and how we live. The world sees God through us who follow Jesus Christ. Now, there's kind of a two-point here. Are we representing God the way he wants to be represented? And if we are, praise God, because people finally get to see the light of God through who? Through us. God is the light, and without him, there would be darkness. God is light, and he has no darkness within him or around him. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 and following. In addition to all of his other wonderful attributes, he is light. The more we obey him, the more we become like him. It's an interesting thing as we go back into the Old Testament and see where the nation of Israel was leaving slavery. Moses was called up to speak with God on the mountain, Mount Sinai. And when he got up there and spent time with God, then came back, something had happened. His skin had absorbed some of the glory of God, and he glowed, his face glowed when he came off of that mountain. It terrified the people, scared them to death. You didn't look like that when you left here, buddy. And they ran from him. But it was because he had been with God. And so he covered his face to protect them, to ease the nervousness of the people. They didn't want to get radiated, I guess, whatever it was. But Moses absorbed that glory of God and reflected it upon the people for a time. Because Moses didn't stay on the mountain, did he? He came back down into the world, and in time that radiance dissipated. What happens if we stay with God? Do people see God through us? This was when I was a teenager. It hasn't happened lately. I can maybe a self-evaluation here. I was ordering my pizza, and the gal who was serving me, taking my money, after we were finished, she asked, "Are you a Christian?" Yes. I had not said anything about being a Christian, going to church or anything, but something about me, she recognized that I was a Christian. Now, that's been many, many decades ago. Maybe I need to work on that a little bit more. But when we go out and we help people around us, the servers at the restaurants, the people who help us at the stores, do we reflect Jesus Christ, His kindness, His goodness? Or are we a grumpy old... Well, we won't go there. Let's honor Jesus. Let's show the light through the way we live. Christians are given the power to withstand all the forces of evil and darkness. It's the assurance of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. We put on the armor of God to face the sin and the corruption of the world so that we can stand weakly or firmly. Firmly. Stand firm in the Lord. Take a stand in righteousness, in the light of God. But you have to put on all the armor. You can't just go out with a helmet and expect to win the battle. You have to be fully armored, not half-dressed. Believers of Christ have joined their master in war with all evil, with all corruption, with all the powers of darkness. Walking in the truth of Christ, we are carrying the truth, the torch of truth, the light of truth to the lost. When we dwell in the light of Christ in the Scripture, Satan and his ugly cohorts must flee. They must run away because darkness cannot exist where light is present. Isn't that a physical truth? It's also a spiritual truth. Will we stand in the righteousness of God and be God's light? Sin must flee. In our studies of the Gospel of Mark, we repeatedly see that when the demons came in contact with Jesus, what did they do? They fell to their feet. They submitted to the commands of Christ. They humbled themselves and obeyed every command of Christ to the T, because Jesus is light, and He overpowers the darkness. He is the Lord. He is the Master, and they were the created beings. Christ is in every believer, giving each of us power over the forces of darkness. But we must stand in the light. We must walk in the light. We must live in the light. As children of light, our spiritual batteries are kept charged when we take time to read God's resource book. What's the resource book? Your Bible. Take time to read. Are you cutting out time in your schedule to read the Scriptures and put more charge in your spiritual battery? Read the Scriptures to avoid sin's darkness. The schemes of the devil are many, and we need God's Word to reveal those schemes so we will avoid them. Never forget Psalm 119:105, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Do you want to avoid stumbling? Apply the word. How much of the word? All of it. We got a lot of studying to do, don't we? There's quite a few pages here. If you're not in a Bible reading program, maybe it's time to get started. Like right now. Ignore what I'm preaching about. Get into the scripture. It won't bother me. If you're reading God's word, that's faith. That's great. But do it. Take 5 minutes a day. Take 5 hours a day. Do something to honor God and apply the light so that you can avoid the pitfalls that are so prevalent in this life. Set aside time to nourish your spirit and strengthen your soul, to feed yourself. It is not only light, it is food for our soul. It is drink for our soul. God's word is beneficial to face every challenge of life, whether it is in the church family. Have we ever had problems within the church family? Everybody shake your head, yes. Because what makes the church? People. And we all have problems. We all have sin from the past, even sin from the present that we have to deal with. And so God's word helps us to get through all of that mess and to walk in His ways. Not only do we have to face the challenges in the church family, but especially in the world. We are in battle with Satan's realm. The world is called the domain of Satan and the powers of darkness, and we are at battle. We would be wise to take up more time, put in more light, charge our batteries more if we really want to be God's people, God's light. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17 tells us that Scripture, all of Scripture, is good to benefit us, to strengthen us, to correct us, to help those around us, but we have to take time to know the Scripture for that purpose. All humanity, including us, are traveling through this world. It's temporary. It is controlled by Satan. There's a lot of deep darkness and sin and corruption all around in our world, in our nation, in our neighborhoods. Wouldn't you agree? How do we overcome all that? We are the light through Jesus Christ. We must stand firm in love, in grace and mercy, but stand in the truth. Stand in God's word. There are a lot of things of interest and distractions and temptations that will pull on us, trying to get us away from the light, away from Jesus. But we must stand firm, prepared for the battle that lies before us by learning more of the Scripture. We are directed to keep our eyes on who? On Jesus. He is the perfecter of our faith. He is our light. He is our hope. He is our Savior. He's our Redeemer. So walk with Him. Stay in His path that lights the way to heaven. You know, we are in the season of Christmas. Jesus was born to lead us back to God. Not just us alone, but the whole world. So let's use the opportunities that come to us. Point people to the light, Jesus. Walk in the light, be His light. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much, providing the ways of eternity, everlasting life, and light, so that we can live in a world even that's full of darkness. In spite of all the corruption, we can be Your glorious children, shining brilliantly in the midst of the corruption, driving away the darkness. Give us boldness, give us courage, Your boldness, Your courage, to stand up, to be Your people, standing against the evil and corruption that surrounds us. And we look forward to the day of Christ's return, that we can be joined with all of the family of believers, all the families of the righteous forever, never to face corruption again. Be with us as we prepare to go from here. Empower us. Help us to be an encouragement to each other, to be supportive of each other. In Jesus' name, amen.